right, we're going to get started with our press conference here with our Bush Poll Award winner for next Sunday's 62nd Annual Daytona 500. We have Ricky Stenhouse Jr., driver of the number 47, Kroger Chevrolet. We will open up to questions for Ricky. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start right here and then go to Jenna.
Luis Torres, Motorsports Tribune. Ricky, how does it feel to run this new Chevrolet and right out of the bat put it on the pole, extending the streak of poles for the manufacturer?
Yeah, it feels way different than the Chevy Camaro that they ran last year. I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's the best driving Camaro I've ever driven. So, now it's cool to keep the streak, and, you know, it's something that you don't really think about when, you know, Mr. Hendrick shows up in victory lane, knowing that, you know, we're running his engine package, you know, going to the engine shop and seeing all the guys a couple weeks ago and just saying hey to him. You know, it's something different that I haven't driven. So to keep the streak alive of the Chevys and Hendrick engines on the pole and on the front row is pretty cool, because I know everybody at JTG Doherty Racing has worked really hard this off season, and you know, I think that's what makes it special to me, is knowing that you know, those guys put in the effort, they put in the work, not only just the work, but they knew exactly what to do to make our cars fast. And you know, it's a good way to start our new relationship with JTG.
I'm going to go to Jenna, and then Lee, and then Mark.
Hey, Ricky, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you feel like you've got anything you need to prove something this year, and like today was like some first step? You know where I'm headed with that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's a handful of us that feel like we have something to prove, you know, and two of those are in my corner with me at JTG Doherty Racing with Mike and Brian. And, you know, I know that I feel like I can still get the job done, you know, behind the wheel and win races like we did in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, I know Brian believes in, you know, what the JTG Doherty, you know, the resources that they have at the race shop, the engines, the Chevys. I mean, he just believes in what they have, and feel really confident that we're going to be able to show what we both can do together, and I'm excited to continue that relationship. That was a huge move for me going over there, bringing people that I'm familiar with that have always been in my corner, and you know, to go to a whole brand new place. I think I'd have been lost not having them there, but to see the way they mesh with, you know, Jody and Tad and Ernie, the way they've built that place up, they smooth transition right in. And, you know, just being at the shop with all the new people that the company has, and it's been a good off season, but we definitely have something to prove. And, you know, I know that this is Daytona 500 qualifying. You know, it's one lap, it's one weekend, but I know that they're putting the same effort into our Las Vegas car that we're taking to Las Vegas is what they've been putting into our 500 car. So I think this is just signs of things to come of our speed that we're going to have with our 47 team.
We go to Lee, Mark, and then Bob.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Nice start of the season.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like Mike, who's been with you throughout most of your career, and Brian, you know, more recently, what did that do for your confidence coming over to JTG? Because for two guys just to uproot what they were doing speaks volumes as far as, you know, what they felt about your potential.
It does. And, you know, Brian's done a lot in the sport on the Cup side, and, you know, worked with different drivers and different teams. Mike obviously was with Roush Fenway for longer than I was, and you know, for them to follow me over was a lot of confidence that you know, it built up in me that they still felt like I could get the job done. But it also, you know, they toured the shops, they went through, and felt like the resources that, you know, JTG Doherty Racing has are what we need to, you know, up our level of competition. And so you know, them being in the shop every day, talking to them on the days that I was out dirt racing, you know, just talking about the things that they were getting done in the shop, brought a lot of confidence to me as well, even when I wasn't at the shop. So having them in there working day in and day out has, you know, really helped the transition and, you know, helped my confidence.
And you also looked very solid in open wheel racing in the off season. How did that help you keep sharp? You know, just, I mean, Daytona is a completely different animal than anything you do, but how did having the opportunity just to stay in a race car keep you sharp and prepare you for coming in here?
Yeah, I definitely ran, you know, more midget races this off season than I have in the past few years. And I'm glad I did that. Just staying in the seat, you know, running more dirt races in a row, got more confidence built up. We were fast at quite a few of those races and felt really good and comfortable in the car. So just enjoyed my off season and, you know, going to the shop, going dirt racing and just getting prepared for this season. And it never hurts when you're behind the wheel of something. So, you know, I was ready to go when we got here.
We'll go to Mark, Bob, and then Matt.
Mark Garrow, PRN. Ricky, people have your fellow competitors have mixed feelings about you on plate races. There's some that was, you know, you've obviously gotten the job done. You've won on these races. You've also been in situations that didn't make you many friends. I mean, do you feel
maybe
like
only like two?
Two.
They act like it's every race. So.
Well, I wasn't saying it was every race. Now,
yeah.
But do you?
It's their
do
opinion.
You,
yeah, maybe two in the same race.
but do you think you now have a chance to win this race, and will you get the kind of help it's going to take to win it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've noticed over the years of speedway racing that, you know, when you have a fast car, obviously you get sometimes that you get more people to work with you, sometimes you don't. But, you know, I noticed we qualified on the pole at Talladega. Car was really fast, and, you know, I felt like it was easier for me to make moves, knowing that I felt like I had enough speed to, you know, pull out of line and get the job done. So, you know, that to me is all that really matters, is I know what our car is capable of speed wise, and that helps me make moves.
Hey, congrats.
Thanks. You too.
We're also joined by crew chief Brian Patty. All right. We'll go to Bob and then Matt.
It's all you. I'm done.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. I had kind of a similar question. The fact that you have a fast car, how does that change decision making as far as how daring a move you make?
Yeah, I think for me in the little drafting that I did on Saturday's practice, you know, the car definitely drives a little bit different. I feel like my moves are going to have to be a little bit more calculated, at least for the duels. I know, Brian, we've already talked about a few things that we need to adjust on our race car, you know, for Sunday. I feel like your car on Sunday needs to be a lot different than you qualify and run your duel with. And so we're going to, you know, continue to look at that. I feel like I want to learn a lot in Thursday in the duel to try and figure out, you know, what all we need come Sunday, because in those practice sessions on Friday and Saturday, you end up getting a little bit of a draft, but you don't get, you know, a race draft like you do on Thursday. So we're going to just take notes, and, you know, we got, you know, a full week to come up with what we need for Sunday during the 500. But definitely going to have to be a little bit more calculated when your car is a little bit looser. But when Brian gets it dialed in for me, I'll be able to be aggressive again.
Go to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. This is probably a better question for Tad, but I'll ask both of you the same. What was the process of this team coming together with all the familiarity and the process of saying we want a lot of familiarity? Were you the first piece, Ricky, and then they asked you, what do you need? Or was it kind of more methodical and it was kind of by happenstance you guys were available and all ended up here?
All the above.
No comment.
It all just worked out really well. I'm definitely happy the way everything worked out to, like I said, have Brian, have Mike, you know, in my corner on the same team and helping that transition. And that was one of the pieces, is just to, you know, be comfortable with somebody and make that transition as smooth as possible.
And kind of on a related note, Brian, just being able to continue the relationships, you have that familiarity, it makes it a lot easier to hit the ground running this year, right?
Yeah, it's I don't have to worry about figuring out driver lingo, what he needs or what he's trying to say. It's, you know, working together for 3 years, it's a little bit easier. Yeah, I'm not worried about the communication. It's been there since day one. Obviously, we, you know, had success in 17, and we need to get it back there.
Thank you. Go to Holly up front.
Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. Brian, I have to ask you, as a fellow Central Floridian, this has got to be pretty cool for you to have done this in your home state, and I can only imagine how proud you are.
Yeah, it's cool. It's you know, we sat on the pole here in the 400 with Biffle in 16, won both Xfinity races here in the 400 in the fall. So this is the last one on the bucket list, and that's obviously is a big one. So this is a step in the right direction, and yeah, it means a lot.
Cap it off Sunday.
That's right.
Go to Lee, and then to Jenna.
Brian, for people that don't know Ricky, what was it about him that you committed to making this move from, you know, your comfortable spot over at Roush and, you know, jumping kind of into the unknown at JTG and you know, just following him and being able to be in a position where you could support him?
You know, it was multiple things. Obviously, Ricky was a huge part, but just talking to Tad, you know, Tad and Ernie, met with him for 3 hours. That's a pretty long interview. The crazy thing is we talked about racing maybe 20% of the time. So I wanted to get a feel for how they are character-wise away from the track, you know, what kind of people they are. And it reminded me a lot of NEMCO, and I told him that. And had a lot of success in NEMCO for 11 years, and I want to get back to that.
I bribed him a lot.
And a bribe, yeah, right.
Was there anything specific to Ricky that, I mean, you know what he can accomplish in a race?
Yeah, it's obviously we've had success, won races, and I think the mentality we have at JTG, the racer mentality, and just do what it takes, fits me, fits my mold. I'm not a meeting guy. I hate meetings. When you have more than one meeting in a week, it kind of frustrates me, especially when they get nothing accomplished. So this program just seems easier, right? You know, they trust what I have to say, and we just do it, right? We get graded every Sunday night, right? And obviously we're graded today, and we have an A+, but we need to do this for 36 weeks.
Anything else? All right, gentlemen, congratulations and good luck next Sunday.
Thank you.